Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We'll be looking at a couple different passages of Scripture in the first chapter of Luke. We'll be dealing with the theme, the miracle of Christmas. Several miracles occurred during the first Christmas. Every year I remind people that you will encounter those that do not believe in Christmas. Several reasons for that. Some say that this isn't the actual day that Christ was born. But you know, you don't have to have the event on the exact day. It's not the day we celebrate. It's what happened on that day. Others will try to say, well, it's too commercialized. They'll say that it was first a pagan holiday. The winter solstice was there originally on December the 25th under the Romans, and it moved back to the 21st. The main reason I find that a lot of people don't like Christmas is just they're tight. They're just grumpy, mean old people. It doesn't matter when it is. They wouldn't like it anyway. But I am so glad He came. Long, dark period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. No record in the Bible for 400 years of heaven being heard from. And then in the same year, Gabriel gets to come to earth twice to bring a message from the Lord. He appeared first to Zechariah in the temple. That appearance to Zechariah occurs in the first few verses of this chapter. Beginning with verse 10 was the time that it took place. The whole multitude of people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, that's Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, which is Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So he's talking about prophecy. Gabriel comes the second time in verse 26. It's the sixth month. That's the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, underline the word virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now listen, if you're reading any other Bible that says anything except virgin, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's dangerous. It's diluting the Word of God. The same angel came into her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled. The second one, troubled now, because 400 years they haven't heard from heaven. Now the angel comes within a few months' period of time. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now listen to this. This is an Old Testament prophecy that he is speaking of, found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house, first the throne, then the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there's the kingdom, his seed, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Again, she confirms that she's a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month, he's just confirming the word of God, the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why? Why Christmas? Why did God choose this time to speak? For anyone that has ever done any investigation in your life, you know there's basic questions that has to be asked. And the first question involves that question, why? Back in 1947, a long time before most were born in this crowd, a young man by the name of Glenn Chambers had left his home in New York City to fulfill a vision that God had given to him. He was getting ready in Miami Airport to board an airplane to go to Ecuador on a mission trip. Before he left, the plane was held up, and he decided to write his mother a note and drop it in the mail before that he left. He searched everywhere and did not have a piece of paper on him. Finally, he saw a piece of paper laying on the floor in the terminal of the airport. He picked it up, and it was an advertisement. And on the outside of the advertisement was one word, why? But the backside of the advertisement was blank. So he turned it over and he wrote a short note to his mother. Went over, someone kind enough to give him an envelope, bought a stamp, put it in the post box, boarded his plane. He got on the DC-4, headed toward Ecuador to be part of a missionary group called the Voice of the Andes. They did not realize in a matter of hours that that plane would fly into a 14,000 feet tall mountain that was there in front of them, just outside of Bogota, crashed into the mountain and the metal plunged down into the ravine. And it was several days before they found the wreckage and everyone's life had been taken. His mother went into a state of great discouragement. She could not understand why God would allow her son to fulfill the call in his life, to get his training done, to get on the plane, to buy the ticket, to raise the money, and then suddenly his life be taken from him. A few days passed, and one day she went to the mailbox, and guess what she got? That letter that her son had sent. He had picked up an advertisement with one word on the backside, and that word was why. When she looked at that, it was as though all heaven came down and God said, here's your answer. Would you like to know what that young man Glenn pinned down to his mother as he was leaving? When she looked at the why, she turned it over and saw the handwriting of her son. This is what he said. God is too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, and too deep to explain himself. Just a coincidence? I think not. Because God knew in His providence it was time for that young man to come home to be with Him. But He did not leave a mother without hope. But instead, he fulfilled his word and said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he allowed that boy to find one article on the floor. Why? And pin down three short sentences that changed his mother forever. Because suddenly she heard from heaven. You know, it's a terrible thing to go a long time without hearing from heaven. You can be saved for years and not hear from heaven. You can serve the Lord for years and not hear anything personal from God. You can go for months and months and months and never hear God tell you anything that is directed just for you. And for some reason, we have reached a place where that we think that we would be better off if we didn't hear from God in that kind of manner. In fact, a lot of people even teach against that. They'll say God does not show you things and God does not speak to you and God does not reveal things to you. But I'm here to tell you folks, God speaks at the right time. And God entrusts you with certain things for certain reasons. I wish at times in my life and in my ministry there was things that God imparted unto me that I wished I didn't know. Because if I didn't know, you wouldn't have to deal with it. Suddenly here's an old man that he hears from heaven. An angel has come to him. But all fear grips his heart. Do you know why he was so afraid when he saw Gabriel standing at the right side of the altar? Because they'd gone so long without hearing from heaven, they started making up stories about what it's like to hear from heaven. See, they went back to Leviticus chapter 10, where they had offered up incense in the incorrect way. And when they offered up the incense in the incorrect way, you know exactly what happened. Heaven came down and God smote them because they offered up strange fire to the Lord. Here's Zacharias that has waited all this time to have an opportunity to serve God. The lot has now fallen on him. He gets to go out, take a hot coal off the brazen altar, go back inside the holy place, and then place that hot coal in the place where they burn the incense, which is a type and shadow of our prayers ascending to God. And when he puts that in there, suddenly he sees this angel standing at the right side of the altar. They hadn't heard from heaven so long, they'd started making things up. And this is what they were teaching. If you ever go into the house of God and see on the altar, the right side of the altar, an angel, that means that you have offered up the incense incorrectly and you've offered strange fire like back in Leviticus, and God has sent that angel to kill you. Here he is now going through all those stories in his mind of what he thinks it's like to hear from heaven. And suddenly when he hears from heaven, it is his worst nightmare becoming a reality. How can God be in this? I've done everything I've been taught. I've watched them do this over and over again. I'm doing everything right. And now God's going to take my life. Why? God says, through the angel, I've not come to kill you. I've come to bless you. And you know something? I've never seen anybody die from a blessing. But I've seen many of them die from not hearing from God. After 400 years, he is the first to speak in record in the Word of God with an angel sent from God. Here God gives him divine revelation. And God says, you're going to have a child. This child will be a special child. Isn't it something every time that God gave a special child, he was not involved in strong drink? You ever notice that? Isn't that what it says about Samson? And he said he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. What a miracle. Not only is the angel there, but he says the Holy Ghost is here. Why? Because it took the power of the Holy Ghost for his wife to conceive and bring forth a son. And that son would become the forerunner of another one that would be born just a few months later, whose name was Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sin. It happened because God said it would happen. We live in a faithless generation today. We think that nothing can take place without us being involved in it. People are now terrified to hear from God. I wish you'd hear the things that they say about this church. The things they say about me. Preacher called me this week, said, I want you for revival, but I'm afraid to have you. You're a little bit too Pentecostal for me. I have news for him. I wouldn't want to go to church that dead anyway. But you'd be amazed how many of them are now caught up in the fact that they feel like if you hear from God, you've lost your mind. But you know what? Most denominations, if they would go back and check their roots, do you know where they came from? The fires of Holy Ghost revival, where God would come down and burn in the hearts of people, and people would hear from heaven, and God would do miraculous things, supernatural things. God would perform miracles, and He was saying, I bring you a message. It is a message of a miracle. Your wife is going to have a son. Gabriel gets back to heaven 6 months later. God says, go again. This time it's an even greater miracle. Not that an old barren woman that could not conceive is having a son, but a woman that has never been with a man is going to have a son. And He gave the command. Now they've been waiting and waiting. Really, they've been waiting longer than 400 years. They've been waiting 1,000 years. Those words that I told you are back in 2 Samuel 7, those are part of what is called the Davidic covenant, a covenant to David. God made a promise to David, a prophecy to David. He told David in that prophecy that there would come a time out of his seed that first of all he would build a house. He was dedicating a house then. But he said, the problem is, David, this house will fall. But there's coming one that will establish a house that'll be eternal. So he promised an eternal house. He had promised also an eternal kingdom, an eternal seed. He said, David, you're only here so long and you're gone, but your seed goes on. But out of your seed will come one that will have an eternal seed, eternal children, establish an eternal kingdom. And to have a kingdom, he has to have a throne. So he said he'll not only have an eternal house, an eternal kingdom or eternal seed, but also have an eternal throne. And the one that sits on your throne, David, with the eternal house and the eternal seed, he will be the eternal Son of God. So when he came here, they have taught it, they have prophesied it, they have looked for it, and suddenly they hear from heaven. And what does Mary hear? Said, first of all, you're going to conceive and bring forth a child. You're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why people have such a hard time believing that. I don't know how you were born again, but I was born again by the power of the Spirit. Why do we have such a hard time believing that God could overshadow a virgin and a virgin could conceive and bring forth a son, a spotless son without sin that would be the willing sacrifice for all the sin of humanity? He was the one that was coming that later when Zacharias could speak, he would say, He is the horn of our salvation. How'd you get born again? My birth's spiritual. I don't know about yours. It took a spiritual work of God in my heart to be born again. It took a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost to change my heart. It took a work of God to make me a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. It took the Holy Ghost for that to happen. And it still takes the Spirit of God for people to be saved today. They can believe everything else in this book, but if they don't believe that the Lord can do it by the power of the Holy Ghost, it'll never happen. He established an eternal house. We work to build churches, and we're talking about building a new building, and it's the vision of the church. But you know, it doesn't matter what we build out there. It'll never be eternal. Not the building. No, it won't be eternal. Time will take a toll on it. You just let your house sit empty for about 3 or 4 months and see if time doesn't take a toll on it. Time works on a house. These houses that we have, they're temporal. They last a little while and they vanish away. Even the body that we live in, it is a temporal house. It is a house of clay. Sidney told us this morning that his house of clay is being eaten away at with cancer. But you know the glorious part of it is, when we come to the Lord, He gives us an eternal house. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we know that if this earthly tabernacle of this house is dissolved, that we have the eternal home that we're going to. And when we get there, it will never dissolve. It will never know cancer. It will never know pain. It will never know heartache. It will never know suffering. Why? Because of the eternal one, Jesus Christ, that came and died that we might be saved. We have the hope of an eternal house. We're part of an eternal kingdom. Kingdom is nothing without a king. He's our king. Part of an eternal kingdom, and He sits on an eternal throne. The throne of David. Out of the line of David. You know, only two of the gospel writers. Notice I didn't say two gospels. Four gospels. Four writers, one gospel. Only two wrote about the birth and early childhood of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. Mark and John started when Jesus was an adult with the exception of John, and he went back to when Christ was pre-existent, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One writes from the perspective of Mary's lineage, the other writes from the perspective of Joseph's lineage, but they both come through the bloodline of David. An eternal throne. You see, a king is nothing without a throne to sit on. It's at the throne that all the power lies. It's at the throne where all the judgments are made. And we have but one king in the kingdom of God. And His name is Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's established an eternal house. He has an eternal kingdom. He sits on an eternal throne. You know why? He's the eternal Son of God. Why not celebrate Christmas? There's only one Christ. Why? See, now, here's where we're plagued. What happened on that first Christmas is life is filled with a lot of whys. Would you agree with that? A lot of questions that we have that seems like we never have the answer to. Why? Why, Lord? Why this? Why that? Why does good people have cancer? Why do babies suffer? Why, Lord? Why haven't you come already, Jesus? You said you're coming again. Why? Just because He hasn't come doesn't mean that He's not coming. The answers to our why always lies in His prophecy, His Word. Because through that prophecy, through the ages of time, when nothing else was happening, they knew God had made a promise. And the God that had made a promise had given it to them in the form of prophecy. And in the form of prophecy, they received the greatest miracle of all. And you know what that is? Hope. What a miracle. Could you imagine if you lived your whole life with hopelessness? People do pretty good until they get themselves in a place where it looks like there's no hope. Then they've got a hard time. Do you know what your answer to the no hopes in life always are? The prophetic Word of God. The prophetic Word of God says this. If in this life only we had hope in Christ Jesus, we'd be of all men most miserable. But He didn't leave us without a hope. You're not on your own. It's not hopeless. Don't lose hope. The day you lose hope of your loved ones being saved is the day they'll lose the witness in your life. And the very moment that you quit believing God and hope stops is the day that you'll go dumb and not be able to speak to them. And you'll be closer to the miracle of God than you've ever been, and heaven will come and you'll not know it. Or if you do know it, you'll not be able to say anything about it. A dangerous situation to be in. Why? Why? You know, I ask myself that a lot. I don't have to ask that because I doubt God. I have to ask that, I guess, because I doubt my abilities more than I've ever doubted God. I look across this crowd tonight. I don't know why God lets me pastor a group of people like you all. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I know you could get all preachers to be standing at your door wanting to come in and take this job. I don't know why God would let me do something like this. I don't know why. That's a mystery to me. I don't know why God would even call me to preach. That's a mystery to me. I don't know why God sometimes just speaks in subtle ways and says, Cal, you need to do this, you need to do that. This week, I don't know why God said, whatever you do, you make sure Sidney's here Sunday morning and you make sure he's in the pulpit. I don't know why. Sometimes I just have to take him at his word. It's a lot easier to say than to do. Because sometimes God might ask you to do something that you feel like you're incapable of doing. Or God might ask you to do something that you don't want to do. That you hate to do. You'd rather do anything in the world but that. Don't put me there, Lord. Don't make me do that. It'd be a whole lot easier to just run. But then I'm reminded of the why. God is too kind to do anything cruel. God is too wise to make a mistake. And God is too deep to explain. I don't have the answer for every why in your life. But I know one thing. Inside this prophecy is enough hope that if this word becomes alive to us, it'll be greater than every why that you'll ever have in all your life. Why? Keep yourself at a place where when you hear from heaven, and I do believe this, I think we hear from heaven more during this time of year because hearts are prepared to hear. We're more sensitive. It's not just lights and packages. You can say what you want to. You look at the work of the Holy Ghost in the first Christmas season. And I believe He's working today with that same power. And you'll find people kinder, gentler, more receptive to the gospel this time of year than any other time. But oftentimes they have a lot of questions. Why? When someone comes to you with that question, why? You just have to tell them. God is too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, and too deep to explain. You can hear from heaven. Some of you here tonight, you have situations in your life you need to hear from heaven on. As every head is bowed for one moment, every eye is closed, no one looking on, they're coming, getting ready to sing. Miracle of hope. Is there anyone here tonight no one's looking on, but anyone here tonight that you feel like you are in a hopeless situation and you really need to hear from heaven. Do you feel that way? If you feel that way, would you be honest with me and raise your hand all over the sanctuary and say, yes, I do. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sis. How many others? God bless you. Someone else. Preacher, I really do. I'll meet up with the wise. I don't understand. I can't figure it out. I just don't know what to do. I need to hear from heaven. Some of you love God with all your heart, but life is crushing around you from so many directions that the Lord is just shut out. You need to be honest and say, preacher, I really need to hear from God. Pray for me. Pray with me. How many of you would just raise your hand where you're at? Do pray for me. How many others? All over the sanctuary. Slip it up right now. Some of you are away from God. The Lord's trying to speak to you. You don't understand all of Christianity, and because you don't understand it, you think that gives you a reason just to go on. And you say, one day when I understand it all and figure it all out, then I'll come and I'll serve the Lord and I'll do what's right. But the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Lord says plainly in His Word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you stop questioning the Word of God and stop questioning yourself and realizing you need the Lord and you need forgiveness in your life, the Lord will do something for you. How many of you would say, preacher, I know I'm away from the Lord and I know this isn't the answer to the sin in my life, but I need the Lord. And when you pray, would you pray for me that I'll not wait too late to ask the Lord into my heart? Because I don't have peace. If my time to die was to come tonight, I don't have peace with the Lord. Would you slip your hand up and say, please pray for me? How many of you would just raise your hand all over the sanctuary? You can take it right back down and say, I need the Lord and I know it. I know this isn't the answer, but I don't have peace and I don't have hope in my life. You can have the miracle of hope. Hope in a better life. Hope in a better place. Hope. The life you're living has left you with no hope. You just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Preacher, I do need prayer. How many of you would slip your hand up right now? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Let's stand together. Brother Howard's going to lead us in a song. And as he does, if you're here tonight and you raised your hand, I don't have the answers to all your questions, but I know the one that does. Sometimes you've got to commit the whys to Him. You've got to say to Him, I'm going God's way. As they sing tonight, right on the first verse, you that raised your hand, why don't you come?
381.
381, as we sing together, will you come?